Time now for the big questions on a Tuesday morning. If they had to lose in the playoffs, and at some point the Texans were going to lose in the postseason, especially based on what happened this weekend, will it be a good thing moving forward for the organization that they got handled at home by Indianapolis? Because it forces the organization under this premise to honestly evaluate how far away they are from the Super Bowl.
Well, it keeps happening. If these games where they start off slow and don't really seem to have an answer until it's too late continue to happen over and over again, regular season and playoffs, I don't know that you really learn something from that other than acknowledging that the same problem that you have is a recurring problem.
I guess I don't know if it's fair to say that it keeps happening just because Brian Gain's only been the GM for 1 year. So it's not like it's not
I
like
mean
they,
for O'Brien, it's but
not
you're
like,
right.
Right. So it's not like they didn't address the offensive line last year. Did they address it well or aggressively enough? I don't know. I'm glad they didn't sign Nate Solder. But you did sign two middle-of-the-road type free agents at relatively affordable, actually extremely affordable contracts. So with Senio Calamete, Zach Fulton, there's nothing to keep you from, if another option comes up or if a rookie starts out playing, replacing those guys. So I think it's a matter of, I'm glad they did it because it reaffirms to the players especially that there's a lot of work to be done and that there's no complacency because you haven't done anything yet. I think Bill O'Brien, I think you have to separate two things with Bill O'Brien. There's press conference Bill O'Brien where I think he gets kind of surly about the question he's asked, even though sometimes those questions that he's being asked are ones that he actually agrees with. You know, like Bill O'Brien wants credit for going 11-5, but he also in his heart of heart knows how easily they could have been 7-9. Like he knows that.
Yeah.
He just doesn't like having it rubbed in his face. And I can appreciate that. There's things that you agree, there's things you know that you don't want brought up to you publicly. And that's where he gets surly about it. But yes, I think it's a really good thing that if they were going to lose, good to lose with something that leaves a really bad taste in your mouth. None of this moral victory crap.
I think it's good also. Not that the performance is acceptable from the players or especially the coaches, but I think for the organization, especially at the highest levels like Cal McNair, I think it's a good thing to realize how far they are away and to assimilate that, if you will, and to react accordingly this offseason.
I went 1-for-17. That's a lot of threes missed. Wow.
Is it that easy for you, though, just hey? Okay,
whatever. Yeah, because if I make six of them, it's on. And that's his 60-point game. So Orlando got lucky last night.
All right, that was James Harden with our buddy Tim McMahon of ESPN.com. Harden, 1-for-17 from three the other night in the loss to Orlando, 6-for-15 last night, but he scored 57 points in the win against Memphis. Is James Harden going to win MVP again?
I would have a hard time. Like, can Russell Westbrook somehow score 20 triple-doubles at some point? What other things could they do? Could they have a rule change in the middle of the season somehow that limits James Harden? I don't think so. And this is a regular season award, so don't bring up James Harden's play. But yeah, he's going to win the MVP.
It's a narrative award. Like, we create a story because we want to give a guy the award. I think the most impressive thing is I don't think people want to give James Harden the MVP award again. It's that he's forcing them at this moment to give him the award again.
He's right. A 3-2 favorite at this point.
Who else could even win it? I guess Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yep.
That's pretty much it, because the way that the Bucks have played this season with the changes at coach in particular. But that's all I can think of. Like, everyone else, there's no one else even on the board.
Nobody in Golden State counts. I don't think Jokic is going to win. I guess maybe Anthony Davis if the Pelicans make a run, but that's a big if.
How many MVPs could James Harden? Because I feel, barring
Kawhi, maybe?
Barring some weirdness, I think that it's, maybe. If everything continues as it is right now, he's going to win it. So it's a very good chance at 3-2 odds that he's going to win it. What's the over-under on number of career MVPs for James Harden? Because as people have noted, his game should age pretty well.
I would set it straight to three.
Yeah.
Just because I think the default is the NBA public does not want to give him these kind of awards.
Let's see, 2.5. Do you assume he's going to win another one? I feel like it's hard to win an MVP.
Honestly, if you asked me before this season, I would have said that he's only going to win one.
I would have put it at 1.5.
Same.
I would put it at 1.5, so I might have to just bump. It's just so hard. Like you said, it's a narrative-based award, mm-hmm. too. And to get that third one, it's a higher degree of difficulty to convince people to vote for somebody the third time than the second time, because they don't want to. They realize that they're starting to have historical implications.
He should be coming off two straights, in my humble opinion.
The real question is, question is, all right, how many other guys is he going to be competing with over the next couple of years? I think Anthony Davis is in that category. I think that you're right. As long as all the Warriors are together, I don't think any of them can be it. Kawhi's having
That's a big if.
That is true.
If the Warriors are going to be
If Durant's in New York next season, that's definitely a possibility if he's able to take New York to heights that they've never been.
And that's been rumored. If those guys break up, it makes it more likely that those individuals actually win MVP.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I hadn't even been thinking about it from that aspect.
So Embiid's in that conversation.
Yeah, he's in that conversation.
Antetokounmpo, as we mentioned. And I think it's really like Russell Westbrook, you don't even really have to worry about anymore because he's not accumulating the same stats that he used to.
Paul
he can't hit threes anymore.
Paul George, dark horse.
Yeah, Paul George just had a great season. Yep. No question about it. All right, number three. Do you buy Wade Smith's contention Friday on the show that historical precedence indicates the Texans will not pay Jadeveon Clowney? I want to follow up on this because I'm assuming he's referring to Mario Williams.
Right.
And the fact they let him walk away. But it was kind of a one-off, and they were in a unique spot where they didn't have much cap space, which they have now, and they had kind of a, if it's possible, a glut at the time with defensive players.
It was, they were in a cap situation where they were uncomfortable. You can always find room for a guy if you want to. They didn't think it was prudent at that moment. But it is still strange to think about the fact that they just let a guy who'd go on to have a record-breaking contract just walk out the door with no franchise tag, no nothing. But it was different. Like the Texans have a bunch of cap space right now.
It was also different because Mario had gotten hurt in 2011,
and
so they played the last half of the season without
him. They had a really good defense without Mario,
and
I felt like they must have thought, okay, we can do this without paying somebody the richest defensive end contract ever. We should do it.
Yes.
I've heard weird things about Clowney that to me don't make a whole lot of sense to my naked eye and what I watch from Clowney every Sunday.
Yeah.
There's a weird vibe when it comes to how they feel about him versus how everyone who watches the Texans feels about him. Cause if you watch the Texans, you should think he is a really, really good player.
This is where I don't trust any of these rumors ever because I heard the same things about DeAndre Hopkins, that somehow there's reasons the team didn't want to pay DeAndre Hopkins. And then the dude gets paid and goes out and has two of the best seasons he's ever, like, it just, it's, what about DeAndre Hopkins? I'm sitting here right now. These people that were trying to feed me rumors and whatnot about how the team wouldn't want to pay DeAndre Hopkins.
That's a weird one.
What was that based on? So I can only guess, for the sake of my own sanity, that the rumors were complete crap versus the actual opinion of the team. I hope that's not what the actual team thought, because obviously they were wrong if that was the case.
I feel the same way, and as you just basically said, Seth, rumors, there's always an agenda usually attached to something like that when you're given it to by someone who is closer to the organization. Here's something to keep in mind. All right, go back to that piece by Albert Breer where he listed all those somewhat nauseating things that the Texans are looking for from the players that are on their
team. Loyal, humble, compassionate, tough, family.
Whitney Mercilus is that and more.
All of them, yeah.
Whitney Mercilus's contract comes to a conclusion at the end of this coming season. Do they look at Whitney Mercilus and say, this is the kind of guy that we want to have for a while. He was the absolute team player this past season. We give him more than he took on his discount deal that he had to play with the Texans at first. And because of that, we stick with Mercilus going forward. Clowney is someone that we franchise for a year, and then afterwards, you move on, he goes somewhere else.
Mercilus is in Connor Barwin mode right now, I think, where because of his versatility, it's going to hurt his stats, and some teams will value that, but still also be able to use it against him. Like, he's actually an extremely valuable player now in that you don't have to pay him for his value. So other teams will look at him and be like, wow, here's a guy we get on the cheap that can do all these things for us. He can play off the ball. He can cover tight ends in a pickle if we need him to. He can rush the passer. And as a pass rusher, it's really hard for these guys. If you're not in a rhythm, if you're not on the line, and you're like, guys that drop off into coverage as outside linebackers have to deal with this, but they're still playing the same position all the time. I feel like Whitney's role changes so much from week to week and scheme to scheme that he's never really able to settle into a rhythm and set up an offensive tackle over the course of a game because they've got Jadeveon, they've got JJ, they're going to put Whitney in. Whitney's intelligence is probably hurts him on a personal level because he can do all those things. They ask him to do it. I think they end up coming to terms with Whitney sometime over the course Boy, would they let him go to free agency?
He seems like someone
summer?
They wouldn't let walk. They wouldn't let him.
And he signed a pretty. He probably took a discount just to have stability before. Which again, he screws himself because he's now known as a guy that's a good dude. Good dude is code for, hey, the front office is going to screw you over. So, I think he ends up re-signing a deal, like a relatively reasonable deal.
I have no feel for it yet.
Yeah.
No feel for it yet.
Who do you think would be the first team to sign Whitney Merciless if he was a free agent?
Patriots.
I mean, yep.
Yeah.
That's
totally,
what I was thinking 100%. Too.
Honestly, he's Mike Vrabel.
I think you guys are underestimating teams like Indianapolis, the Jets, the Raiders.
Oh, and how much they'd be willing to pay him?
The teams that have cap space that need pass rushers.
Yeah, but nobody would appreciate him like the Patriots. And also, you know what you're doing? You're acting like Whitney doesn't have a choice in this matter. If I'm Whitney, I'm going to the Patriots. As long as Tom Brady, the Patriots who were in the top five offenses this year yet somehow sucked. I think as long as Tom Brady walks, breathes, lives, loves, makes passionate
drinks
love to his wife,
water.
Giselle.
I had the TB12 method booked, by the way. I still, we gotta go in a deep dive of this during the off season.
We already did.
Let's
it.
Do that.
We did?
Yeah, we did.
Let's do it again.
Show. Okay, we'll do it again.
Let's do it again. All right, one more real quick. This is what I'm just gonna spring this upon you guys. There's a video last night of Jim Boeheim with a wet spot in a conspicuous area. Do you guys think Jim Boeheim, the Syracuse basketball coach, actually peed his pants?
Did he go to overtime?
During Syracuse's victory over the number one team, Duke, on the road?
Can I ask you? How old is he? 76?
That sounds reasonable. I don't know if he's quite 76.
I can't see the spot that people are talking about. Oh, I see. Yeah, I think he peed his pants a little, probably. You're probably in a hurry or something.
74 years old.
If you pee your pants, like, why? How does he not at some point, how far is the bathroom?
He didn't realize. No, he probably peed his pants as he was, it got leaky afterwards. Sometimes
that's
it's leaky
big,
after. He had a big leak after. He's 76 years old. Cut the guy a break, you ageous bastard.
Overtime game. It's an overtime game.
Can I ask a question? I thought, wasn't Boeheim supposed to retire?
Like, he was. That's a good question. Just kind of change a few things.
He had an heir in Mike Hopkins, and Mike Hopkins left. So now he's never going to retire.
I thought he was forced out. It was a forced retirement.
But then he just kind of stayed.
Has this been relatively big news? Have I missed out on it?
One of those things where everyone in the regular season gets annoyed by Jim Boeheim still being there, and then they go on a deep tournament run, and you're like, oh yeah, that's why. It's basically been the last couple of seasons.
I thought it was also because of the Bernie Fine stuff and everything that they were like, all right, it's time to step down.
They got off scot free when it comes to that scandal.
Okay. Yeah. What else more weird than criminal?
So the Bernie Fine stuff, didn't that turn out to be even way more complex than people would
have thought? It was very complex. And for those who don't know, Bernie Fine had a relationship with his boy who may or may not have had a lot of drug issues, but also seemed to have a lot of issues, period, that might have stemmed from his relationship with Fine.
Okay.
He was like a ball boy for the team for 10 years or so.